fucking fly. Welcome back, everybody, to CNC Calling Your Color Sports Show. We on episode number 8, the Great 8, aka Throwback Kobe.
Okay.
I am your host, Stacy Carter, the second.
I'm Natasha Claire, the co-host.
Natasha Claire, the co-host. But anyway, it's been an exciting week in sports. First of all, both our squads won the Rams. My Rams won 2 in a row into the bye week on a winning streak, 5-3. And your Packers, they won. They 7-1. My goodness.
We are 7-1. One half of the season down, another half of the season to go.
Man, who saw that coming? Mm.
I did, but all right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway. But the first thing is the NBA is officially back. Just got through with 1 week of the season. Everybody's reacting. Everybody's overreacting as well. Overreacting. It only been like 3 games, but everybody just excited about the NBA. The first week, my biggest takeaway, my boy, Derrick Rose is balling right now. My dude is balling. He's averaging north of 20 points, going for 6th man of the year. I knew he was going to ball out in Detroit because all the things that he said, he's highly motivated. He's highly motivated, and I appreciate everybody's paying attention to Derrick Rose. He never fell off. He just wanted his opportunity, and he got it. So, congrats to Derrick Rose, and Markelle Fultz deserves a shout-out as well. He's doing his thing.
Facts. I haven't seen a lot of clips of Markelle Fultz down in Orlando doing his thing, shooting, dunking, and we all thought his career was over, right? But it might be in a resurgence down there in Orlando. So we got to look out for Markelle as the 2019-2020 season unfolds.
Mm-hmm. And the game's been competitive. Like, I love it. I love highly competitive basketball where everybody's just going all out, just competing. A lot of scoring. I see 130-point games, 140-point games.
Everyone is scoring a lot. They're having some high-scoring games for sure. My takeaway is really, I'm really looking forward to seeing how RJ Barrett is flourishing. Everyone is focused on Zion because he's number one and he's this big guy and highly touted coming out of Duke. But don't forget, Duke had a squad. Like, you know, they had other people outside of Zion. RJ Barrett is solid. Granted, the Knicks aren't solid, okay? But that's beside the point. You know, he's averaging a double-double basically throughout the first 3 or 4 games. Granted, they are 1-3, and the reason why that is because of a lot of turnovers. 25, 26 turnovers, I don't know where that's going to get done. But they recently just did win over the Chicago Bulls, so that's good for them. But, I mean, RJ Barrett, he's solid. He's not flashy, you know what I mean? He just plays ball. He get what he can get, you know what I mean? Like, and he got size on him. I'm like other rookies coming to the league. Like, he got size on him. Yes, he'll gain some more size. He'll gain muscle mass, but you got to watch out for RJ Barrett, man. Just definitely check out RJ Barrett. That's who my rookie of the year is, and that's who I'm still about to behind, whether he wins or not.
RJ Barrett doing it. People forget that he was the number one recruit coming out of high school. Over Zion. He was over Zion. And he's electrifying. He's good. He's just as good. Probably low-key even better than Zion. But that's still a case that's still out there. But I did read a rumor that an NBA executive said that RJ Barrett's the next Melo. Do you see that?
The next Melo.
I guess the way that he plays, how he can score the basketball at 3 levels, something like that. I don't know.
We're going to wait and see for that. What else
caught
your eye, though?
What else caught my eye? Let's go and get to it. The Battle of LA took off. The Clippers drew blood. They won the game, and both teams, they looking good, but they also had their question marks. We can start with the Lakers. We start with your Lakers. They 2-1 after they lost against the Clippers. They won 2 in a row versus the Jazz and the Hornets. Right now, defensively, they looking good defensively right now. They looking good. That's what I was looking for this team. Right now, they're a top five, like a top five, top six defense in the NBA, allowing opponents under 100 points a game. I think 99.7, something like that. That's right. Pretty good. That's pretty good. And AD is balling. He's the leading scorer and rebounder on the team right now, 25 and 10. LeBron right now is averaging a double-double, in which I said that I think he would this season. This is the season for him to do it. And he's still putting up 20 points as well. For right now, what I see from the Lakers, their problem right now, point guard depth. Point guard. They need to solve their point guard position. They don't really have a strong guy at point guard. Rondo, he gets hurt. Alex Caruso don't see that many minutes. Then Quinn Cook, he's not really a point guard. He just got a point guard size. And LeBron, it's going to take that offense a while to adjust to him being a point guard. It's a bit more of a slower pace with him at point guard. So they got to figure that out. But otherwise, they looking good. What you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers don't look too bad. You know, let's talk about Dwight Howard in his last game against the Hornets. He put up 16 and 10, and he had 5 blocks. That's a good game. That's good minutes off the bench for Dwight Howard, a veteran center, in his second stint with the Lakers. And then you think about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is going to get his regardless, right? You know, he's going to be tired, but he's going to get his regardless. He's going to put up all these points. He's going to get his blocks and his rebounds. And then we have LeBron. LeBron is still LeBron James, you know what I mean? Granted, he made his debut 16 years ago. He might have lost a little step, but he's still the same person. We need to move KCP somewhere. I don't know. I know we can't move him off the team because he's a no-trade clause. Shout out to Clutch Sports. But, I mean, I think the game against the Hornets, he had 10 points. Okay, great. But the past two games before that, he was like 0 for 9 and 10 in his field goals. Missed, not even made, missed, okay? 5 fouls, fouling out. Bro, we not paying you this $12 million we fouling out, nobody. Like, I don't know what he thought this was, but this ain't it. That ain't it. So that's that on that. Rondo definitely needs to get healthy. I don't know when we're expecting him to come back into the lineup, but speaking of being healthy, so an article today that said that Kyle Kuzma should be coming back as early as Friday, so that's cool. You know, we right on pace, so we throw that in as a third score. And our Lakers are going to be okay. I feel like, you know, if Kawhi can go to Toronto and win in the first year, I feel like my team can do the same thing, and he can do the same thing for the Clippers. But, you know, it's still going to take time to gel, right, for all of them to gel. You know, you'll have that two-man game. You'll have the obvious, right, with AD scoring, LBJ scoring, but you know it's a lot more that we have to get in rotation. You know, we have to get everybody in. We have to make sure that it all works because we can't fall behind defense. You did mention defense is looking good through what three or four games, but it's super early. So we gotta see how that pans out. But I mean, all in all, let me tell you something. Sunday night, my Packers won, my Lakers won. I went to Monday morning like
hey! All smiles, huh?
All smiles.
Yeah. And speaking of the Clippers, they're doing good as well. Kawhi is looking like the MVP of the league right now. He's just a walking bucket. He just get his easy. He just look too easy for him right now. But right now they're kind of struggling defensively. And then they lost against the Phoenix Suns.
Say it ain't so.
I wish it was.
DeAndre Ayton, huh?
How y'all lose against the Suns right now?
Right now, of all time. Like, it'd be one thing they caught them off a back-to-back or something like that, but nah, fresh legs, no load management, and the Clippers lost. But, I mean, again, we could be overreacting about that, but the Clippers do look good. I mean, when the Clippers played the Lakers, the Lakers lost. But you know what? I think Anthony Davis had 25, 28, something like that. LeBron chipped in, and then Danny Green chipped in 28. If Danny Green didn't chip in 28, we would have blown out that game. And Paul George wasn't playing that game. But you know what's a big storyline for the Clippers? Their bench. Their bench gets money. Okay? Mm-hmm. Against the Lakers, their bench had 60 points alone. The bench had 60 points. And then you throw in Kawhi's 30, and then everybody else's, you know, chump change. Compared to the Lakers bench, had 16 or 19 points. That ain't gonna cut it. But the Clippers, I mean, again, we threw three games. Like, what's really to be said right now? You know, Kawhi Leonard is right back into his form. Like, it's Kawhi Leonard. Like, he don't skip a beat. Okay, he don't skip a beat.
Don't forget about Lou Will, six man like Lou Will, two girls, and they get along like I'm Lou.
Yeah, like he chipped in. What, 25 or something like that? Like, he was a big part of that score of that game in the bench. And I mean, it is through three games, Stacey.
Yeah, but you know. We excited. I just like to see basketball. I just love to see it. And everybody's talking about it. So, you know, why not? Why not?
Sure, I'll tell you.
Why not overreact just a little bit? Just a little bit. But keep going with the NBA talk. Both of us mentioned last episode that we believe that Kyrie Irving was going to be in the running for MVP. And right now he's proving us right. First game, 50 ball. Drop 50 on him. He almost hit that game-winning shot. He almost hit that. Like, if he would have hit that, it would have been a wrap. It would have been a wrap. Did you see that?
Oh, I did. Yeah, he actually had 50 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 38 minutes against the Timberwolves. And missed that shot. But, I mean, other than that, he had a great game. Other than that, it was still a great game.
And he also had a couple more other great games. Now, he did get his shot blocked by my rookie of the year, Ja Morant, which, you know, that didn't sit well with everybody. But hey, right now Kyrie is balling. So you think he's still in the running for MVP?
He could be. I mean, right now he threw three games against the Nets are 1-2. Losses coming to the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, and only win by the Knicks. He's averaging 37.7 points, 6.3 assists, 5.7 rebounds, which is basically 6, and then 1.7 steals, which is basically 2. So through three games, he ain't looking too bad. He ain't looking too bad. I think as long as he obviously stays consistent, they continue to press along and actually win. I think he can definitely come to that MVP still.
Yeah. And we got other Kyrie news that we're going to bring up for a minute, but let's keep going with the first week, the biggest stories. There's another guy who put his name into the MVP race, Mr. Pascal Siakam out of Toronto Raptors. That man is balling out right now. He got paid recently, 140 mil extension, and he's playing like he's worth his contract right now. So Pascal Siakam looking good. I think he's going to continue this pace, probably not scoring like 35 points per game, per se, but he is going to be like north of 25 points. And I think that he's going to be the reason why the Toronto Raptors make it into the playoffs. If they make it into the playoffs and he puts us in stats, why not vote him for MVP? Why not?
Because of the other better candidates. That's why.
I mean, Russell Westbrook, he was MVP and his team was the 6th seed that year. So Pascal, he can get it done.
That's true. But also, you got to remember that for Russell Westbrook, what he was accomplishing was historic. So yeah. I think that also weighted pretty heavily on his MVP race. Pascal Siakam, shout out to him. He got paid. He is the producer. And I think the focal point will obviously go through him, considering the changes that the Raptors has gone through. Whatever you say, Stacey. If you with him, I'm with him.
Yeah. Also, before we move on, I got a shout out to my boy Fred VanVleet. That dude is becoming my top 10 favorite player in the NBA. When he get his minutes, balling out.
Yeah, I mean, and he did the same last year in the playoffs. Like he did pretty well for, you know, being in his role, being a newer player. Wasn't he like undrafted when he came into the league?
I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken, so I mean, he's an NBA champion now. Like he's pulled his little resume up there.
Yeah, and don't forget in that finals in that closeout game 6, he had more points, 22, than Steph Curry, who had 21. And speaking of Steph Curry, we gotta talk about the Warriors. They
stink.
Oh, the Oklahoma City Thunder just obliterated them. I was watching the score. It was like 70-37. I was like,
yeah, I like half.
Yeah, that's like 2 points over half. I was like, whoa. And right now, you know, this an overreaction, and they only played three games. Right now, they are the worst defense in the league, allowing 130 points per game right now. And what's coming with the Warriors not getting off to a good start, everybody's piling on Steph Curry, saying Steph Curry, he can't win without all-stars. He's not a leader. And the Warriors, they probably not even going to make it to the playoffs. A little more overreacting. So what do you think about people just piling on Steph Curry?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the Warriors itself, right? The Warriors ain't going to be the Warriors that they've been reigning for the last 5 years. That we're going to bring that down. I don't think that's an overreaction. I think that them losing, especially to OKC, whoever OKC has, plus CP3, I think that's ridiculous. But you know what? It's not an overreaction, though. Mm. I don't think it's an overreaction. I think that the Warriors are going to be at the bottom, if at all, in the playoffs, right? And I think that with them, I mean, look, they celebrated, like, did you see that clip of D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry happy because they beat the Pelicans to get their first win of the season? Like, clearly D'Angelo Russell is bringing out the youth, okay, in Steph Curry, you know? And, but you got to also think about it. If you listen to the sound bites from Steve Kerr and also from Draymond Green, Steve Kerr was like, look, he already know, like, it's about to be a rough year. He's going to actually have to coach for real, okay? He's going to actually have to implement plays, and they're going to have to actually work hard in practice. Steve Kerr is aware that there's going to be games like this, quote-unquote, this over the year. Games where they got to get blown out, okay? And then Draymond Green said, look, we suck, bro. Like, I'm not going to be nobody's coach and sit here like, oh, you know, we can do this better. No, we suck. Is it an overreaction? No, I think it's right on par what we want. And remember how Twitter blew up? Twitter blew up when they saw that everybody was cracking jokes. I know I was right there like, damn, Warrior fans, y'all all right? You know what I mean? As far as piling down on Steph Curry, let's not forget who Steph Curry is. You know what I mean? I feel like saying that he's not a leader, no, that's negative. And I think that even in this year, he's going to have to step up considering a lot of the bench players, a lot of the outside of him, Klay when he returns, and then Draymond Green, you know, they don't have Iggy no more. They don't have Sean Livingston. So a lot of those players are young, so he's going to have to be a leader. I feel like, and I don't feel like he's going to neglect that at all. So that part is an overreaction. Steph Curry is still going to be who he is. So what if he's not playing with All-Star, he's still going to get money. They might just treat him like a game tyrant, like just passing the ball and like let him score, let him shoot. You know what I mean? That's my hot take, okay, on the Warriors and Steph Curry. Talk to me, Stacey.
Yeah, I think people right now are overreacting to it's only been a few games, and they have to adjust. I mean, they did lose two big All-Stars, four in total of their main guys that got them that championship. And people forget, Steph was balling before KD. A lot of people was like, Steph can't do it without KD, can't do it without Klay. He was balling before them. So it ain't nothing changed with Steph's game, or he's not less dominant than he was before. I mean, he's still Steph Curry. Now, I will say this. I do question his leadership, and I have questioned his leadership. I don't look at Steph Curry as a leader. I don't think he's a strong leader. I just don't look at him as a leader. It don't speak, his leadership don't speak volumes to me. I can't see him rallying a team with words, with the mental aspect. Now, his play will elevate everybody, but I don't see it. Like, for example, you saw that in game six of the NBA Finals, where his team needed him the most, he shut down, especially after Klay Thompson got hurt. He shut down. He went to the other side of the court, slammed the basketball, sat on the other side of the court until it was time to play again. You can't do that. You can't do that as the quote-unquote leader of the team. You got to be stronger than that. So this year will test out his leadership, and hopefully he can get it together. But, you know, just three games and all. So I'm pretty sure he will, because he's Steph Curry. He is a great player, future Hall of Famer, NBA champion. So He got it. He just needs to believe in it.
I think that you know how they always say, like, you gotta check on your you also have to check on your strong friend, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's not, because he's a leader, because he's Steph Curry, he can't have a day, a moment, even though it was pivotal, game six, he can't have a moment where he needs to just, like, sit alone, can't be a little frustrated. I mean, I know the optics may not be great, obviously, because that's what you brought up, and that's what other people have probably brought up at that time, too, but, I mean, he's still a strong friend, you know what I mean? Granted, he'll be called upon more now, it needs to be more prevalent now because of the makeup of the DNA, the makeup of the roster, but I don't think we should shut him down as far as being a strong leader or even not even giving him the opportunity to do so through four games. I mean, he got D'Angelo Russell hanging on his hip now, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to have to step it up. I will say that he'll have to step it up, like I said, but to say that he doesn't have it at all or he's not a strong leader, y'all checking your strong friend too, Stacey. Y'all check on me too. that's just my thought on it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steph, he'll get together. Speaking of being strong, we got to bring back Kyrie Irving. There was news that just came out per Jackie McMullen from ESPN saying that the Brooklyn Nets front office, their top guys, are quote unquote concerned about Kyrie Irving. They said that he was very moody. Jack McMullen mentioned how he was acting at the trip at China where he was supposed to be at a photo shoot. He refused to take off his hat or something, and he told everybody to get out the room, and just very moody. It's a very odd story, and it's kind of funny that this came out when when Kyrie Irving is on the rise. Like, he's playing well. He's playing very well. Bam, here goes a story about him being moody. Just very funny. Very, very peculiar timing. And also, Kevin Durant responded to this story saying, you know, basically that's not true. Did he stand behind Kyrie Irving 100%? And, you know, everybody just piling on Kyrie Irving again, because here we go again. This is how it was in Cleveland. This is how it was with the Boston Celtics, and now we got this with the Brooklyn Nets. So what do you think about Kyrie Irving's moodiness?
I think, everyone is able to have emotions, right? Whether they're man or woman, NBA, NFL, whatever the case may be. Nowadays, everything like that is more prevalent. It's more in the news. To hear about how Kyrie has mood swings and everything, I mean, actually, his head coach, Kenny Atkinson, denied the report, saying that Kyrie's mood and his mood and how he's been with the team has been A+ in consistency and spirit, okay? KD's gonna obviously back his teammate, you know, although they haven't officially put in the court, they're still teammates by the payroll book, okay? And so, I kind of feel like it's nonsense. I kind of feel like people just trying to find a story with Kyrie. Let him ride out. Like, it's four games through the season, and we talking about his mood swings, bro. Like, we need to talk about these points right here. We need to talk about the competition. We need to talk about the Nets as a whole. We need to talk about nobody's damn mood swings.
Right.
This ain't no damn red table talk, okay?
Yeah. that's why I alluded to, like, he's doing well, and it seemed like that he's happier. And here we go with a story about his moon swings. Now, I said this on Twitter, and I was just pondering this. I said that I don't want to assume anything, but maybe this is kind of a mental health issue for Kyrie Irving. I mean, we did hear about this with the Cavaliers. We heard about this with the Celtics, how he's up and down mentally and all that stuff. Maybe, you know, he's going through some things. We don't know. I seen somebody post something about him maybe being bipolar. It was just a question, just pondering. Now, again, I'm not assuming anything, but I'm just saying that what I'm trying to say is that people need to just stop. People just need to stop just saying these mean, nasty things about Kyrie, about a man who just, you know, trying to find his way again, just trying to find what makes him happy. And right to me, in my eyes, he looks happy with the Nets more than he was with the Cavaliers and with the Celtics. He's where he wants to be, close to home. He's playing for the team that he always wanted to play for, that he was a fan of growing up. He's making good money. And right now, he's balling out. Drop 50 points like we just mentioned. MVP candidate, let Kyrie be Kyrie. Everything's fine.
Right. I mean, it's because you have mood swings. I don't mean that you bipolar, okay? You know, there's a lot more that goes into mental health and those type of things. So I think everyone needs to be back off on this mental health thing. Let my man be a human, okay? Let him be a human. Let him get settled down. And not for nothing, the NBA is implemented where, because of the mental health concerns and awareness that we have now, all the NBA teams are required to keep a psychiatrist on retainer, by the way. So if that's the case, then the Nets psychiatrist need to go holler at Kyrie. But if there's nothing that's warranting that behavior, why do it? You know, why go out? I think everyone needs to relax. I think we need to leave Kyrie, let him be a human, let him flourish, okay? You know what I mean? I'm sure if there needs something to be spoken about, I'm sure us, the media, will get to it, okay? But we need to move on from this mood swings, okay? Let's go.
Yeah. Leave Kyrie alone. Hashtag leave Kyrie alone. Let's get that trending. You're gonna put that at the end. But another story that came out the first week of the NBA, dealing with a young up-and-coming player from the Phoenix Suns, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton was suspended 25 games. He tested positive for a drug.
A diuretic.
I low-key was stalling because I couldn't pronounce the name. But thank you. But I read it. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically a water pill that is used for high blood pressure. But athletes use it to mask performance-enhancing drugs. It makes them, we're going to play doctor here, it makes them urinate more so they can get it all flushed out their system.
Yeah, the diuretic is used as a masking agent for any athlete that is trying to conceal, you know, their urine for whatever that may be. Now, yes, he is faced with a 25-game suspension, which is roughly 31% of the regular season, and he's also being fined $2.17 million in salary for that, too. I mean, he, you know, as a rookie, like, we expect a lot from a rookie, right? We expected a lot from this particular rookie, considering he's the top pick in the 2018 draft. You know, he has all his endorsements. We know about moral clauses and those loopholes that are involved in contracts. And he averaged 16 and 10 last year. From an article that I read, he is going to fight it, him and his team, and NBPA will be fighting this. You think that he knew what was in it? Do you think he knew that?
That's a tricky question to answer. It's like, athletes should know what they put into their body, because, you know, you're playing a physical sport and you got to make sure that you're in tip-top shape. But he might not. You know, we do hear, like, baseball players, like, their trainer would give them something and they don't know what it is. They just know their trainer said, hey, this is best for you, just take this. And then next thing you know, the player gets in trouble. So I don't know, but, like, this is unfortunate. Like, come on. Like we just mentioned, this drug is used for masking performance-enhancing drugs. Like, that was my question. Like, what is he using a performance-enhancing drug for? Like, was he going through an injury? Was he trying to build up more muscle? Like, what was he doing? What was his plan to where he got to use water pills, basically, to mask it? Like, I still got questions.
Well, the thing about it, it wasn't said that he was using a performance-enhancing drug. No, it's saying that he's using a diuretic. And it's 24 diuretics that are banned by the NBA. Mm. Now, according to the CBA, they actually can't disclose what particular diuretic it is, but it was a diuretic that is on a banned stand, that is banned, and it's 24 banned diuretics. I don't know. I like to know why, you know, why he did it or why he ate or drank whatever it was. And maybe had the diuretic in there, but I believe that because I actually believe in his innocence. Mm. I will actually say I believe in his innocence. I feel like he's a rookie. Yes, we know about obviously what obvious drugs, performance enhancing drugs, and drug abuse that you know you should stay away from, the obvious ones, you know, but some of them are, you know, ticky tock, you know what I mean? It's really intricate when it comes to those details. So I do believe in his innocence, and if he can prove that he did not know, he was not aware what it was, you know, or what contained that diuretic, then he can be successful in appealing. But we're gonna have to wait and see the as due process takes its course.
Yeah, and this couldn't have come at a worse time. The Suns, they just came off a monumental victory against the Clippers, like we mentioned earlier. And their team is trying to build something for the future. You got Devin Booker there, DeAndre Ayton, Kelly Oubre, Miles, Mikal Bridges, among other players. So they just hired Monty Williams during the summer. So they got a veteran head coach. And they're buying into it right now. They're playing okay. They're playing decent right now. They trying to build a future, and for this to happen where they lose their number one draft choice for 25 games, it's just very unfortunate and very bad timing. They are trying to climb up from the bottom. So, but they need DeAndre Ayton, because I believe that he can be a quality big man in the NBA. I think he can do that. He was running for Rookie of the Year last year, and this year he started to put up similar numbers to last year. So hopefully he can come back sooner. But if he's going for that whole 25, then that's terrible.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then you lose over $2 million.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. As a rookie, on a rookie sliding scale, he got about $35-36 million over the course of 4 years. And I'm sure with the team option for his fifth year, but I mean, that's still some money that, you know, lost for something stupid. But hopefully he wins the case, right? Hopefully he wins the case. We'll see how that goes. We'll definitely keep you posted on what happens in that disposition, because let's free DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre.
Yeah, that's another hashtag we get.
Free DeAndre Ayton. Free DeAndre
Ayton until we say it backwards. But let's switch over to the NFL. The trade deadline. What an exciting time in the NFL. The trade deadline came and it went.
And nothing really happened.
Hooray. Yeah.
Let me tell you, I was over here sitting at my phone, like, let me tell you, my lunch break, I was sitting right in front of the TV watching NFL Live, like, all right, what's next? All right, let me get prepared for the episode. And nothing. I'm like, all right, bet. So I go back to my desk, and it's like 3:30. I'm like, and my boss and my coworker was like, any trades? I'm like, no, everything's off. Everything's quiet in the front. It's going to be a whole whirlwind in the last hour. Nothing happened.
And they do this every single year. They have all these rumors, all these top players, and nothing happens. Like, come on, man. Why even have a trade deadline if you're not going to actually trade at the deadline? Well, come on.
Right. The names involved were safety Jamal Adams for the Jets, potentially going to the Cowboys. That didn't happen. Talked about Le'Veon Bell. I was kind of surprised when I heard those rumors about Le'Veon Bell being involved. But you know that Adam Gase didn't even want Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Adam Gase not going to be there after this year. They might as well just cut the ties on that joint right now, but I digress. We don't know what that buyout looking like, and you know, all those contract details. They even talked about Darius Slay, cornerback for the Lions, who had 18 career interceptions. He still stayed with the Lions. And then also Chris Harris Jr., if I'm mistaken, cornerback for the Broncos. He also stayed put. I even heard Von Miller was saying by the phone just in case a trade happened. Like, what? But all in all, nothing happened. But to recap the NFL trade that happened throughout the year, Lenard Williams went to the Jets for a third and fifth rounder. Kenyon Drake went to the Cardinals for a conditional sixth round pick. Jenard Avery, went to the Eagles for a fourth round pick in 2021. As we know, Jalen Ramsey went to your Rams for two number one picks and a fourth. Marcus Peters was traded from the Rams to the Ravens for Kenny Young. Austin Corbett is now in the Rams for a fifth-round pick. Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots for a second-round pick. Emmanuel Sanders, and a fifth-round pick to the San Francisco 49ers for a 34th. Jerrion Conley went to the Texans for a third-round pick. And then Quandre Diggs went to the Seahawks for a fifth-round pick. So those are your NFL trades. Oh, and then, of course, today, you guys also traded Talib to Miami. And that was obviously to free up. That was to free up salary. They dumped $4.6 million in salary, hopefully to resign Jalen Ramsey after his fifth year. So it was pretty boring. Nothing like NBA trade deadline, though. I tell you that.
All right, even a Major League Baseball trade deadline be cracking a little bit.
Yeah, but right. NFL. How do you feel about your team making making those trades? Do you think there's anything else that can be moved that you need or that you might have needed to be added that you feel like maybe the Rams might have overlooked?
No, not really. I mean, the Rams pretty much have what they need. Now, I would say they could bring in a second shutdown corner, but, you know, that's okay. But, I wish Talib and Peters would have worked out because they're two dynamic corners. But Peters, up and down play. Talib just has not been healthy ever since he went to the Rams. And he dealt with injuries before he even got there. So, I mean, but we got Jalen Ramsey out of it. So that's a good start right there. And hopefully he'll resign for a long-term deal. And hopefully the Rams keep the band together because, I mean, they do have a squad. They do have a squad that can contend. So hopefully that stays together. And also I wanted to shout out the San Francisco 49ers getting Emmanuel Sanders. I thought that was big because, you know, Emmanuel Sanders used to play with Kyle Shanahan as the coach over there in Denver. So they have that relationship going, and they're just another weapon for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, the 49ers, they did lack a viable number one threat or receiver, and they have Emmanuel Sanders. In my opinion, I don't look at him as a dominant number one receiver. I look at him as a good slot receiver, which he has been his whole career, but that's still a good move. That's still a good weapon for the 49ers. So shout out to them for just this once. That's it.
That's it.
They can't have no more. That's enough.
Well, speaking of the 49ers, like we'll stay there on the 49ers. Like they're 7-0.
No comment.
I heard crickets. Okay. as far as my Green Bay Packers, I did want us to like look into it. I feel like this is where I stood, and I was discussing this with my boss earlier today. We've been all right, right? Since we haven't even though we've been without Davante Adams in like the last 4 or 5 games, and we've been surviving, more than surviving, but we've been pushing through. But I also wanted us to just still look into what's going on. You know, we never want to, you know, look like have the deadline come and go, and then you're like, oh, well, we maybe could have did this, we could have did that. I feel like, you know, we didn't make any moves. Obviously, we didn't make any moves externally, but we made moves internally, signing and cutting those from the practice squad. But it wouldn't have hurt to have another wide receiver, though.
Yeah,
It wouldn't have hurt.
I thought they could have looked at. Sorry to cut you off, but I thought they could have looked at AJ Green, Cincinnati Bengals. I was expecting him to get moving. I thought the Packers, they can be in the running for him. They'd be a great pairing of Aaron Rodgers and AJ Green. Nasty. Ugh.
Right. Yeah, I was hoping that was going to go that way, but it didn't. Actually, the Bengals were not trying to move on anybody. In fact, they benched Andy Dalton on his 32nd birthday today. So he will not be starting next week. The rookie Ryan Finley will be starting, but they were firm on not trying to trade anyone, and it's kind of surprising that they weren't trying to trade AJ Green, considering like, I think he's played all his time. He's been all his time, his tenure in Cincinnati, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But or in addition to now they could have traded him away, right, to somebody who's contending. I mean, the Bengals are what, 0-7 or something like that. Now he's in his last year of his contract, so he's gonna walk next year. So now you could have gotten something for him, right. You didn't, and now he's about to finish it on a winless Bengals team. Y'all benching. What are y'all doing? You know, like, what's going on? Another wide receiver that was actually in the rumor mill was Roddy Anderson from the Jets. A couple people were actually in talks about him or thinking about him, and I think they wanted a second round pick for him, but only the highest pick that was being offered for him was a fourth round pick. So, but I mean, everyone held their ground. Nobody went forward with trading anybody really, except for what we've already discussed.
Yeah, I was disappointed with the Bengals. Like, y'all need it's over. It's over. Just break it up. Get AJ Green out there. Get something for AJ Green. Get something for Andy Dalton. You just benched the guy. You just benched him. And they shouldn't even have benched him because it ain't like he playing bad. He playing okay. But come on now. Like, yeah, it's done. You got Marvin Lewis out of there finally. Like, come on now.
Yeah, I feel like they should have been active trying to gain some assets. Like, I think the quote of the day was a fire sale. Like, they should have had a fire sale. Like, I don't understand why they did it. But now, you know, most people the Cincinnati organization is left with once the season's over. When, you know, their season's definitely going to be over at week 17. So, you know, whatever.
Their season was over after, like, week 3 or something. Like,
no, that's a fact.
they just out there. One more thing about the NFL. Fire Freddie. Hashtag fire. Here go another hashtag. Number 3. This one was actually trending. Fire Freddie. If you don't know, Freddie Kitchens, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We brought him up on the previous episode, but we got to bring him up again because he was trending. They're calling for his head now. The Cleveland Browns dropped to 2-5. 2-5. They just got beat down by the Patriots. It's looking like it's going south real, real fast for the Cleveland Browns. So we said that when they was 2-3, they should keep Freddie Kitchens, see how things pan out. Now they are 2-5. They're getting very, very close to being out of playoff contention. Should he get fired now?
Should Freddie Kitchens get fired? I feel bad. You know, that man's a family. You feel me? His family, this is his first year, his first 7 games or whatnot. 7 games of whatnot. But it's been bad. The play call been bad. Like, I mean, they ain't got no O-line, really. Like, it's a mess over there in Cleveland. I mean, I know that's what Cleveland's known for, but I really had hope for them. I have this talent, you know, all this talent on the offensive end. Like, it's just been underwhelming. Like, I'm really disappointed. I can't curse, but I'm really, really, really disappointed in the way that the Browns are maneuvering. Like, every minute I hear Baker Mayfield coming up to the podium, spitting, you know, these empty promises, these empty messages, okay?
Yes.
Right, just ad-libbing, you know what I'm saying? Where is Odell Beckham Jr., okay? Mm-hmm. Where is he? Has anybody seen him? I haven't seen him. Right? Drop balls. He's been targeted. They've been throwing him the ball, but it's not been working out in his favor. Like, we haven't seen anything. Is it Nick Chubb, the running back from Georgia? In Georgia, he barely, if at all, ever fumbled. But he had, like, 2 fumbles in that game against the Patriots. Then again, it is against the Patriots, and they're, like, number one defense in the league. So there's that. But still, I don't know if you saw, but one of the plays where he did fumble, I mean, he's running with the ball, right? He got a cup in his arm. Boop! Now, I could have did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's – you being a rookie, and that's not cool. But to answer your question, a part of me says yes, and a part of me says no. The reason why I say no is because it's his first season. You know, granted, you know, they are at the bottom here. It can only go up from here. But it's like, why shut him out now? Because what is the result? What is the alternative? you shut him out now, you kick him out, then what you think is going to get better? Or you're just trying to stop the wound right now from bleeding? I feel like it's a lose-lose either way. So that's my take. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree with that point. Like, Freddie Kitchens is not the total problem. Now, he is to blame, you know, you got to be stronger as a head coach. You got to get it together, especially when your team is expected to take off. Everybody expected the Browns to compete for the AFC North Division title. They expected them to. When you get Odell Beckham Jr., when you get Jarvis Landry, you have Nick Chubb coming up, you have some key players on your defense, and then Baker Mayfield, who won Rookie of the Year last year, if I'm not mistaken. You have all that. You got to coach them guys up, put them in a proper position to succeed. Now, I will say that their offensive line is shaky. Baker Mayfield has taken a major step back. At first, Odell Beckham was not getting the ball at first. I remember, I forgot what game it was, but he only had two catches, like two.
He didn't pay $90 million.
And this is Odell Beckham Jr. we talking about. Top five wide receiver in the NFL. Two catches? That's it. I think it was like two or three targets, too. But, you know, they have to adjust. A lot of people are gunning for him. People know what Odell can do. So he's going to get double teamed and all that stuff. Baker Mayfield, you got to get rid of the ball out of your hands. You got to stay sturdy in the pocket. Use your feet when you have to. He looked nervous. He looks like he's panicking in the pocket. He's throwing erratic passes, getting intercepted. You can't have that. Nick Chubb has been there constant, but how much longer can he produce with a shaky offensive line in front of him? I mean, you got to make a adjustment now. Come on, truthfully, did we expect the Cleveland Browns to beat the New England Patriots?
Hell no.
In their defense, nobody this year has done well against the Patriots. Nobody. Right. That's right. Why they still undefeated. Mm-hmm. And then the previous week they lost to before the Patriots, they lost to the Seahawks, who are a good team too. So yeah. You know, and they're a real coach as well. So, you know, you have those factors. Now, is it time to fire Freddie Kitchens? No, it's not time to fire Freddie Kitchens yet. I know he's 2-5 and everybody expect the record to be reversed, 5-2 or whatever, but come on, you can't fire him, and if you do, like you said, who you gonna replace him with? Who's your backup? Like, what you gonna have to bring in? He's a young head coach. You're gonna have to bring in a veteran head coach to that team to corral that team to get them playing better and to get them on a winning path. Who's out there that's a great option?
Right. I mean, it's like who's gonna wanna pick up that dumpster fire right now? Like, you know, there's a couple dumpster fires around the league. You know, you have Miami, you have the Jets, you have the Giants, you have the Bengals, but it's like, who's gonna pick up the Browns? Like we just discussed, you fire Freddie Kitchens, who you gonna get to replace him? Are they gonna be any better? No. There's a lot of work that I'd say a lot of us, and I say, you know, everyone, pretty much overlooked, you know, and better luck next year, Browns.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're only 2-5, right? You know, it's only been 7 games.
That's
they got 9
to go.
A lot
of damn losses, right?
I mean,
that's enough.
If they go? I mean, what if they go on like a 9-game winning streak to end the season?
Let's pull up their schedule. Okay, hold on, give me one moment. Let's pull up the Browns schedule and see. Let's predict, okay? Mm-hmm. So, the Browns play the Broncos next Sunday. Then they play the Bills, who look pretty good defense. Although they got mollywopped by the Eagles last weekend. They play the Steelers. That's up in the air. They play the Dolphins. They should win that game. They play the Steelers again, okay? Then they play the Bengals, and they play the Cardinals, Ravens, and then they play the Bengals again. So they could probably win 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 of the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Maybe they can go 4-4. So which brings them to what? 6 and 6-9
Yeah, they don't want that.
I mean, it's better than the previous years, no? It's better than previous years. That'd probably be a good thing for them. But
I mean, they,
but the Browns have a the Browns have work to do, so there's that on that. But before you know we go any further, we didn't really shed no light on my Packers. And we're gonna shed that light on my Packers. I've been waiting for this moment. So okay. My Packers are 7-1 And last week we played the Chiefs, and we were in an actual duel with Matt Moore, who was last playing a high school coach this past summer, high school football coach. But he gave us a run for our money. And Aaron Rodgers, he's a bad. Right? And even Aaron Jones. I mean, Stacey, not for nothing. I'm like, I'm geek. We look good. We're surviving, you know, week by week. We pushing. Next week, we have another road game. We're playing the LA Chargers. And I believe that we'll come out again and play our game.
There should be another W. The Chargers suck.
It should be another W. So, but you know, it put those type of games in your way, especially when you have a good season to trip you up. And the way the Vikings are playing, they're 6-2 right behind us. You know what I'm saying? So we can't drop a game and be right there. Although we're still be over them considering we beat them this so far. But you know, our season ain't over yet. So. So yeah, I just wanted to put those my two cents in there about my Packers.
Yeah, Shout out. Hand clap, you know.
Y'all bye week this week.
Yeah, Rams, we got a bye week, so we chilling. We in chill mode, but we got to get prepared. Got another slate of tough games coming out, so we got to be ready. Play Seattle again. Play San Francisco again. We got the Ravens too. So.
All right.
Well, we'll see how it works. Gotta be ready. All right. One last thing to round off the episode. Now, episodes ago, we mentioned that California passed a law to where athletes can get paid starting in 2023, January 2023. Recently, the NCAA, it was a unanimous vote. I got it right. Unanimous vote.
Got it.
That athletes can now seek compensation off their likeness. Yeah. So after getting criticized for this over and over, the NCAA finally said, okay, athletes can start getting paid off their likeness. Now, the details are still getting mapped out because if you don't know, the NCAA got 3 or 4 different divisions, and each division got to map out the rules and regulations for this, but a major step for the NCAA to finally let college athletes get paid.
Their likeliness.
Off their likeliness.
Likeness.
But they did say that the student athletes should not get treated different than non-student athletes, and you know they still trying to keep them in a box a little bit, but. This was a major step, and this was the right move. Like I said on that episode, the NCAA been making millions and millions and millions of dollars off these players, off these top prospects, off these top college athletes, especially in football and basketball. They used to have the NCAA games, the basketball and the football games. I used to play them, but they had to stop that because it just got out of hand, and it's about time. Yeah. If you're going to use these players to fund your school, give them their money. Give them a cut. That's how I feel about that in a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the right step. And after, you know, there was all this backlash after California made their declaration, and now the NCAA, now they had to concave and you know, follow suit. And this is expected to come into play 2021. I will say that because there are 3 different divisions of the NCAA, and there are sports that are not revenue generating, they have these board of governors, these independent people that they might, you know, that the NCAA may hire to figure out the the very, very intricate details of this, you know, whether it's administration, you have to get involved, you have to get finance involved, you have a lot of people, they have to go home to really sit down and hone in on this to make sure it's as equal as possible for all facets of the NCAA and their sports. So it's definitely not going to be a quick process. It's going to be a long process, but shout out to everyone who was advocating for players to be compensated. You know, it's a long time coming. So, you know, all those high school graduates coming class of 2022, 2023 and so on, they're about to benefit from, you know, everyone that's come before them.
Like you were saying, that is like a question that got to be answered. Like, how is this going to be even? Because in my mind, for right now, until I learn more about this, it's not going to be even. Because, you know, Division One schools make more than Division Three schools, and then inside of Division One schools, there are schools who are up here as far as prestige, and then there's schools who, you know, are on the lower tier. So, like, they still got to figure that out. So that's the one thing that I could see being a hole in this plan, but it is the right step. It is the right step going forward for the athletes, and you know, shout out to them because they deserve it.
Right, I totally agree. We'll see how that unfolds and how the story develops and what the game plan, what the strategic model will be going out for the NCAA.
Yeah, right, and that will.
Yeah.
I gotta work on my transitions a little bit, my ending transition just a little bit.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, anyway. that was the end of episode 8. And speaking of college, episode 9, we might be going back to college to give everybody a little preview. We might be going back.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. So you make sure you have your West Virginia gear ready.
Oh, boy.
Hey, what, you don't like West Virginia no more?
What do you mean? Like, don't ever come out here trying to disrespect me or my Mountaineers, man. I should say what I want to say. Just make sure you know me about West Virginia, all right? But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about college again.
Yeah, why not? I like college. I like my time in college.
Me too. Bring me back, okay? Bring me right. back. Anyway, to close out episode 8, I'm the co-host, Natasha Claire.
And I am Mr. Second and None, Stacey Carter Second.
Sound like he about to be like Superman or something. My bad.
Oh yeah, I'm Superman too. They call me that too. I can do it all.
Oh boy. Anyway.
Until next time, we're signing out.